It's the Book of the Week.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday morning. It's Book Club Day. Welcome to the Portsmouth Authors Collective. I've got Steve Shepherd in with me and Mr. Richard Salisbury, who I'm being very careful about because I've read the back of his book. and I think I need to give this person a lot of respect. And that'll make more sense to you in a minute. So, what can you tell me about Richard other than the fact he writes quite frightening vengeance-based books from the look of it?
Well, I'm sure Richard can tell us more than I can about the book itself, but hello, Matt, and hello, Richard. A little bit first about Richard. Richard is a novelist and award-winning short story writer. His work has appeared in Artificium, Flash Fiction Magazine, Worldwide Writers, Portsmouth News, the Fairlight Books website, and on BBC Radio, which is very impressive. He also plays the guitar and brews his own beer, and I have drunk some of his beer, and it's excellent. The book is called, this is his second book, and it's called The Gifts of Anger. And brief description of the book: Ollie has an anger problem. Trib has a philosophy degree. Together, they set out on a series of missions to deal out some poetic justice to the cheats, grifters, and opportunists of their hometown. But is it acceptable to break the law to make a moral point? And what is the cost of standing up for the little guy? Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Right, that gives us a bit of blurb about the book, but what genre would you say that is?
Okay, right, the difficult ones first then. Ooh. So I'm of the opinion that you should sort of mix it up. Those are the kind of books I like to read, and so I would say this is a sort of... Is it a crime novel? It's a sort of anti-crime novel, I suppose. But there's an element of humour as well. And there's some sort of stuff about society and philosophy. Mm-hmm. All with a light touch.
Well, I've read the book and I agree with all that, certainly. The title, Gifts of Anger. What's that about?
So it's about the idea that you can do something for someone if you're angry about it. And if you're too angry, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But in order to make sort of meaningful change in the world, there has to be some frustration there. You know, you see it in activists, this kind of desire to make things better, but there's a core of anger there that drives them.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's an original idea, and I think that was the thing that struck me particularly about both your books, but this one in particular, how you come up with that sort of idea that where you have the two guys, you know, righting wrongs, but you don't go over the top. It's a very interesting, you know, theory. What sort of research did you have to do for it?
Well, I had to look into anger, really, which is an interesting thing. It's one of these sort of forbidden emotions, you know, mm-hmm. something you shouldn't really indulge in. Mm-hmm. But as the book explores, it can be a useful thing. It can be a gift to someone. Mm-hmm. But I read two books in particular, one by a guy who had terrible anger problems and had kind of found ways to deal with them and then set up a network to help other angry men to deal with it. So a kind of grassroots kind of thing. Mm. And another book by a cognitive behavioural therapist who gave the kind of science behind it and then the practical things you could do. So it was two kind of opposite views of anger and its role in society and, you know, how you can deal with it in a productive and meaningful way. So those are both very useful books.
And that gave you the idea of combining those two aspects and then putting it into book form? Or
I think I had the idea first, but I kind of wanted to know what it was like to be sort of permanently angry with things, and angry for the right reasons as well, you know, angry about injustice, that kind of thing. But it's a very interesting thing to look into, because I realised I'm angrier than I realised.
I think we all are.
I think that's exactly true, is that we suppress the anger, and, you know, it's not always a good thing. One of the guys, the guy who wrote the cognitive behavioural book, was talking about criminals going to prison and then spending 23 hours a day in their cell fantasizing about what they were going to do to people when they got out. So this kind of recreational anger So yeah, those things all fed into the book.
Oh, well, when you get to my age, you'll be a proper grumpy old man, undoubtedly.
Yes, the anger turns to grumpiness. Yeah, I can feel that coming
about
already.
It anymore, so I just grumble about it. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right. So you've done the research. So the book is subtitled a Strathurst novel, or is it Strathurst? I've had this question before.
It's Strathurst.
It's Strathurst.
Yes, which is
Strathurst novel,
a fictional town which I created for the purpose of having a setting for my books. Ooh. It's near. Or it's over Longmoor Camp, the army camp.
I
took the OS map and I wiped Longmoor Camp and the golf course and the sewage works off the map and drew a town over the top.
Right.
So it's a fictional town. It has various inspirations from various local places. But yes, pronouncing it Strathurst is nothing will mark you as coming from outside the town more than incorrectly pronouncing it Strathurst.
Not a Stratty.
So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
you know how these towns are, yeah.
Because both your books are set in Strathurst, aren't they?
Yes.
Mute was as well, yes.
And there'll be a third one as well.
Excellent.
To sort of complete the trilogy.
And is the town growing as you as you write more books?
It does, yes.
It gains buildings.
It's not a complete town. There are big blank bits where I can insert things when I need them. Oh, I need a train station right here. In that goes. I need a church or a pub or some shops, and in they go. They get drawn in.
It's an interesting way of doing it. If you've got a fictional town set in a non-fictional environment, all the towns around are sort of exist effectively, don't they? So it's just a fictional place with lots of actual places, you know, near to it. Yeah.
Well, I've got a good bit of music we could stick in there then.
Okay.
How about a town called Malice?
Oh,
that's a bit of a title, you see.
That's a professional.
Yeah, here we go then. A town called Malice. And we're back with Steve Shepherd chatting to Richard Salisbury about his book, Gifts of Anger.
Thank you, Matt. Right, as a pantser myself, or someone who doesn't plot books before he starts writing them, what about you, Richard? Do you plot or do you just go find your own way as you write?
Well, as with the genre thing, I'm sort of mixing it up these days. So Gifts of Anger was quite solidly plotted, and Mute, my previous novel, was very carefully plotted.
Okay.
But I think I'm becoming a bit more of a pantser as I go. I'm trusting myself a bit more not to, make a complete hash of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need a certain amount of plot, of guidance, some signposts to show me where I'm going, and particularly something to aim at as well.
Mm.
But yes, it's I find it difficult to let go. But increasingly I'm finding that my plots won't be plotted before I start writing. So I sometimes find I write some, then plot a bit more, then write a bit more, then plot a bit more.
Mm.
And as long as the whole thing hangs together at the end, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, you've got two main characters, and you can build a story around having presumably created those at the start. Do other characters, appear and grow unexpectedly?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Although sometimes I simplify as well. I find I've got two characters, and then I think, hang on, do I need two? One of these isn't doing much, and then they get merged into one character, like a sort of Play-Doh or Silly Putty.
I think that's right. Yeah, I read a book recently where it had about a dozen policemen, and I think they could have been combined into about three.
Yes, each character must have a significant effect on the plot. Mm. Otherwise, really, what are they doing there?
I think that's important. Yeah.
Well, I found a couple of the authors that we've had in before just said their characters kind of push the story in a particular direction. Do you find that happens with you? Or?
It can do, yes. And certainly there are bits where I think that character would not do that, and I need that to happen. So what do I do? Do I change the plot or do I change the character?
Yeah.
And I guess, it's done on a case-by-case basis where you think, what's going to work the best?
Mm. Yeah, because the characters sort of exist almost as real people in your mind at the time, don't they?
So yes, they do. Yeah.
You're always thinking, what would they do? What would apply to the plot here? Does it fit?
yeah. There's a quote by Hemingway that says, "What every writer needs is a shockproof bleep detector," and I've bleeped out the word there. But I think it is important to have that kind of critical thing where you think, no, this isn't realistic. This isn't hanging together.
Mm.
Something needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just sort of cultivate that kind of sort of cynicism, I suppose, about your own work, so that you can improve it, and so that other people don't go, why would he do that? That's stupid, you know. I'm trying to avoid that
I think
all the
more,
time.
The more we write, the more we self-edit, we're cleverer as we go along, I think, in that sense,
yes.
aren't we, perhaps?
Yes, I think you begin to edit as you go, and I'm terrible for that. Mm. I'm a real editor, so I find myself editing first draft. I find myself editing sentences. Get on with it. Come on, keep some momentum
well,
up
it's
there.
One of these rules of writing, isn't it? Don't edit until you finish the first draft.
Yes.
So I edit as I go along because I make it up as I go along. I have to, otherwise it won't hang together, you know.
Yes.
So, makes writing so wonderful.
Definitely, yes, yes. The people who say, there's one great rule for writing, and nonsense. There isn't. Yeah. I once saw P.D. James speak, and she said, there are just as many different ways of writing as there are writers, so do what works for you.
Absolutely right. Take hints and advice, by all means.
Oh, yes.
The thing about advice is you don't have to take it. You
know? Yes, yeah. Yes, just because Stephen King does it a certain way doesn't mean it's going to work for you. You know, this is not a magical key to, bestsellerdom.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. Where can we get it?
So at the moment, the best place to get it is probably direct from me. So my website is richardsalisbury.com. And the Salisbury is spelt without an I, just to, trip up the unwary.
I was going to ask that. Mm.
So it's S-A-L-S-B-U-R-Y. And I can send you a signed copy.
Oh, excellent. Signed copies for no extra cost.
Yes.
Indeed.
Sounds good to me.
Is it in any local bookshops as well at the moment?
It's not at the moment. I'm looking into that.
Yeah,
Yes. The situation with local bookshops seems to be changing a bit at the moment. So, yes. I will be doing a signing at Leon Solent Bookshop in the near future.
Okay, but no date for that at the moment.
No date for that. Okay. No confirmed date for that.
I'm sure we'll highlight that. We do have a date.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Cheers.
Okay, so you've chosen a bit of music for us, I understand.
Yes.
What's behind this? What's the...
So, I'm not really a great listener of punk.
Mm.
However, the book does feature a punk song that the main character writes,
right.
Which is quite, I think it's quite funny. The reader will have their own opinion. So I've chosen I Fought the Law by The Clash.
Brilliant. Welcome back to Portsmouth Author Collective Book Club, and we've got Steve Shepherd with us. He's been chatting to Richard Salisbury about his book, Gifts of Anger. But what's coming up? We've got some events coming up, haven't we?
We have, but first of all, thanks to Richard. I have read Gifts of Anger, and it is brilliant, and it is original, and I highly recommend it. Yes, the PAC, the PAC, coming up over the summer, course of the summer. This coming Saturday, the 14th, Margaret Jennings is holding a writing workshop at the Pallant Centre. From 10 to 12.
Oh, that should be good.
Called Stirring Emotions. Mm. Tickets are £10, and you can get them via Ticket Source, and apparently there's going to be cake.
Oh, that's me sold.
Which is included in included in the price. So if Stirring Emotions is not enough for you, then there's cake as well. So, roll up and try to be brilliant. Margaret is fantastic. And then after that, as ever, every fourth Wednesday, we have Speak Volumes at the Hideaway in Southsea. So 25th of June is the next one, from 7 till 9:30 or thereabouts. And that's an opportunity for PAC members, both current ones and prospective new ones, to come along and read, 10 minutes of their work in progress or something that they've written, to an appreciative audience at the cafe, which is licensed. And if you want to go along to that to listen, please just turn up. If you want to speak, then Christine Lawrence or Jackie Green tend to run that, and you can contact them via the PAC, Portsmouth Authors Collective, Facebook page. That's probably the best way of doing that. That's advertised. But it's 25th of June at the Hideaway is the next one.
And it's a free event.
It is completely free event, and you get some really interesting readings as well. Good fun. A lot of variety. Further ahead, the only other two things I've got to mention at the moment, there is an event at the Cathedral on the 2nd of August, where there's a marquee and 11 Authors Collective members will be reading their work there. There will be books for sale, obviously, as well. There'll be more information about that as we get closer to August. And similarly, the week after that, on the 10th, there's a PAC fair at Port Solent. Again, more information as we get nearer to August.
Brilliant. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we've got this week for the book club. But thank you very much, Richard, for coming in. It sounds like a really interesting book. I think I'm going to have to read that one myself. And we look forward to chatting to you all again next week. So until then, keep writing.